Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tatman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. Welcome to a World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I am in Seoul, South Korea, with a group of leaders from across Asia at the 17th Asia Pacific Conference that's happening here in Seoul. We are back at our hotel from being at a wonderful evening service where Jim Lyon spoke about peace, about the idea of shalom. That's the theme for this event is peace, Ephesians 2:14. And so he did a wonderful job sharing about peace in his life and what it looks like as the church to be a church of peace. And now we're back at our hotel. It's late. At least it feels late for me. I don't know if it feels late for you, Bakkerman, but it is late for me. It's only 9:30, but
it's not so late for us here.
I feel very tired already.
Okay.
But I'm joined with my good friend, Bakkerman Nongplu, who is a pastor and a teacher at a university in Shillong, India. And I'm so excited to get to share with you. I've known Bakkerman for a number of years back in AU and grateful that our paths crossed again here in Seoul. So Welcome, Bakkerman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Andrew Gale. It's a really rare opportunity for us to meet here.
Yeah.
I come for this Asia Pacific Church of God Conference here in Seoul, South Korea.
Yeah.
So surprised to see you here.
I know.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to meet and talk.
Yeah, it's so good. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the Church of God because that's what you've been asked to speak on tomorrow at the conference.
Yes, that's true.
Sharing a little bit about your dissertation. But before we do that, I'd love people that are listening just to get to know you a little bit. So where were you born? Tell us about where you were born and kind of your growing up years.
Okay, I'll do that. I was born in the northeast part of India, not exactly in the city of Shillong, but in a town nearby.
Okay.
I grew up there, went to school in the town, and then finally for university studies, I went to Shillong.
Okay.
From there, God opened the door for me to go to Anson University for my doctoral studies. That happened in 2007, 2008, 2009, and finished in 2010.
Wow. So it only took you 3 years to do your doctoral studies. That's
yes.
Feels very quick. I mean, that's...
Yes.
Congratulations.
thank you. Thank you so much. But that happened in 2010.
Yes.
And now it's already 12 years.
I know.
Since that time.
Been a while.
Yep.
So did you grow up in a Christian home? Was your family Christian?
Yes. Like what Brother Jim Lyon said in the service just now.
Yeah.
I grew up in the church. We sing hymns of the Church of God. Hymns composed by D.S. Warner.
Yes.
Since 1895, 96. We still sing those hymns.
The same hymns.
Yeah. I grew up in the Church of God. And then at some point in my life, while I was studying in university, I sensed God's calling to the ministry.
Wow.
So I joined ministry. I went to study Bachelor of Divinity in one of the prestigious institutions in India called Union Biblical Seminary.
Yes.
At Pune, in southwest of India.
Okay, so you grew up in northeast India.
Yes.
But you went to school in southwest India.
Southwest India.
So for those who don't know, what's the distance? If you were to drive between where you grew up and where the school was, how long would it take you?
Oh my, I wouldn't be able to drive.
You wouldn't be able to drive.
It'd be around 2,000 kilometers.
Wow.
2,000 kilometers, how many in miles? Maybe around 1,400. Something like that.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
I think
long.
We forget how big India is, which that's why I wanted to remind our listeners. It's a huge, huge country. And
that's right.
That would be a whole different culture and community there in the southwest of India, I would assume, than where you grew up in northeast India.
That's true. We speak a different language to them. The culture is different. Everything is different. As you know, India is a land of many tribes, many people groups, many languages, and so on.
Yeah, so it was a cross-cultural experience, even if it wasn't cross-country. I mean, it was the same country, but yet a very cross-cultural place to go and learn and get your Bachelor's of Divinity.
Yes, that's true, because Northeast itself is as big as United Kingdom.
Wow.
So, as you know, India is a big country.
In the Northeast India, is it a primarily Christian, primarily Hindu? Where you grew up, what's the religious background of the people there in the Northeast India?
Okay, in Northeast India, there are 7 or 8 states.
Okay.
Okay, the state where I lived is called Meghalaya.
Uh-huh.
And in that state, there are more Christians than the non-Christians.
Okay, so primarily Christian.
Primarily Christian in the state that I live.
Okay. Yeah, Meghalaya.
But in Assam, state adjacent to Meghalaya, you have more Hindus there.
Wow.
So it depends which state.
Yeah, when you went to the Southwest, is that a primarily Christian? Or
Hindu, even there, so more, much more.
So when you talk about cross-cultural, we don't mean just language, but also religion.
I
mean, you were going
to
a place
where
Christianity was not the main faith as well.
That's true. And the food also.
Yeah, food,
food
was
different.
what were some of the differences in food that you experienced when you went there?
One thing is spices.
Oh.
Spices.
Is it more spicy or less spicy?
And oily. More spicy and oily food in Southwest India.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you went there, you studied in Southwest India. Did you go back as a pastor then to the Northeast?
Yes, that's true. After I finished Bachelor of Divinity Studies in 1993,
okay.
I went back to Meghalaya and the church asked me to serve for a few years and then ordained. When ordained, the church asked me to in charge some 10 congregations.
Wow. So you're in charge of 10 congregations.
10 congregations. That's what we do in Meghalaya.
So how do you support 10 congregations? What does that look like? Do you go to a different one each day? How do you go about supporting 10 congregations?
That is where you see the importance of lay leadership.
Yes.
Because a pastor cannot be in 10 congregations at the same time, you know. So if I visit one congregation in one Sunday, the other 9 congregations, it's all in the hands of lay leaders.
Wow. But when it comes to kind of making decisions, you're the one they come to as the pastor of that church still. Is that true?
Yes, yeah. we work together with the elders.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to have a committee and we discuss things. Yeah. And come to an agreement on the things that we plan to do for a particular year or particular 2-3 years.
Okay.
Then we work on that.
Wow.
Plans. Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. Now, in a lot of places around the world, pastors are bivocational, you know, so they have a job and they do ministry. Were you bivocational this time?
No,
you were full time. Because
no,
I was going to say 10 churches. How would you have a.
You cannot do that in the Church of God in Northeast India.
Yeah.
You're called to ministry, that is your work.
That is what you're called to.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wonderful.
You're not allowed.
Not allowed.
You're not allowed to do other things. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the church has kept you very busy in the work that you were doing.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe a time will come when you'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Because the world is changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Needs are changing. Challenges are
That's definitely changing. A conversation in the United States they're having right now is having more bivocational leadership. That's just a potential reality.
That's
things
true.
Change.
That's true. Even here in India also, we see that.
Yeah. So you served there. What came next? How many years did you serve there as a pastor to those 10 congregations?
In my case, I served for 2 years and then somehow the church asked me to serve in the mission department of the church.
Okay.
So there was a kind of a break from that pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
So I was in the mission board for 2 terms until I went to Anderson University in 2007.
Okay. So you're in charge of the mission board for for that part of India. So what does that mean? What did you do during that time?
You know, the Church of God in Meghalaya started the mission board in 1980.
Okay.
And through the mission board, we sent missionaries to Nepal to help in Bangladesh as well.
Okay.
And other adjacent states in Northeast India.
Okay, so the work of the mission board is both international in countries like Bangladesh and Nepal, but also domestic or national across India as well.
That's correct. That's
so how many different people are going and serving during that time? How many people were going to Nepal or to Bangladesh, to some of those places?
Okay, to Nepal, you may know Brother Amos Moore and Semper.
Yeah.
We sent them in 1983 to Nepal.
Wow.
And now the church, you know, in Nepal has grown to many congregations.
Yeah.
Other states, we encourage the local people to work in those states within India.
Oh, that's great.
That's how we do. But the work is supported by the mission board of the Church of God in Maryland.
Oh, gotcha. So the mission board then supports the pastors and the leaders that go out to these different places. Wow. That's a big job. That's a big role. Did you enjoy that missions emphasis in the church?
Yeah, I like the idea about the church getting involved in missions.
Yeah.
But for me, I was asked to take this responsibility while I was much younger.
Yes.
So it's a big challenge. I have to do a lot of travel. But I enjoy it and I learned a lot this responsibility that church asked me to take.
Well, I'm grateful that you did that. And you obviously had cross-cultural experience from serving going to school in Southwest India.
Yes, that's true.
But then you moved to the United States long after that.
Yes.
And went to Anderson University to get your Doctor of Ministry. Mm-hmm. What led you to decide to go and pursue more education?
One of the main reasons is when I served in the mission board of the Church of God in Meghalaya, I realized that the church will need somebody to help in the leadership, to help as the church continues to grow. So I thought maybe I need to prepare more and more for this need because the church is growing. Maybe I have not told you that now the church is about 700 congregations.
Wow. So just in
Meghalaya?
Okay. So there's 700 congregations.
Yes.
How many believers are a part of those congregations? Do you know?
As you know, in the Church of God, we do not have a register to write our names because that's what we are told to do.
Yeah.
We assume will be around 200,000.
Wow.
Members.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
A rough calculation will be around that number.
Wow. So that's a large population. And you're right that you want to bring up in education, understanding the church. And so you went to kind of get your doctorate of ministry so that you could come back and be kind of a trainer then of pastors.
That's right. That's right. That's why no wonder the church asked me now to help in the Bible College. We call it Nichols Roy Bible College.
Yes.
In Shillong, where we train young people called to ministry. And now we offer two programs, Bachelor of Theology and Master of Divinity.
Oh, wow.
In this school.
So Nichols Roy is in Shillong.
It's in the suburb of Shillong.
Suburb of Shillong. Okay.
Okay.
But in the state of Meghalaya.
Yeah, yeah. Very close.
And it's for Bachelor of Divinity, you said, or Bachelor of Theology.
Theology.
And a Master's.
Master of Divinity.
Of Divinity.
MDiv, in short.
Wow, that's incredible. And so how many students are a part of the
This year, post-COVID, we have 76 students in these two programs.
That's great. And is it residential where people come to the college or do you do it online? Do people come to classes there at a location?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right now, it's fully residential.
Okay.
All the 76 students that we have, male students and female students, they stay in campus.
They stay on the campus, okay.
But during the COVID problem, we have no choice but to offer them a kind of online program somehow.
That was that's a big challenge for our schools as they tried to navigate what that looks like. And
that's true. That's true. Especially our students who come from far places, from towns and cities where network is not that good.
Yeah.
That's where we have a lot of problems. Some students said they had to travel from their hometown to another town just to get a network to download.
Just to have internet to do it. Wow.
Yeah. To download the files, study requirements that we send them, that teachers send them.
Wow. Well, I'm grateful that you're able to be back open now and have students on campus.
That's true.
What will a student, like for a student that graduates from Nichols Roy Bible College, what kinds of things do they go and do? What are some of the, do they become pastors? Do they become leaders of not-for-profits? What are some of the things that students do after they graduate?
Some of them would go to ministry, mainly pastoral ministry and mission work.
Okay.
And others also pursue further studies or MTH studies and so on.
Great.
And we do have students who have gone somewhere else, not only in Northeast India, even farther from Northeast India, to continue their studies.
That's wonderful. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense that as students come from their home state and come and study that, as they go back, they have an opportunity to be a pastor, to be a missionary in the kind of the ways that you talk about even nationally, you know, become those creating missions outposts around the country.
And for your information, the students who come are mostly from other states.
Yeah.
And also they come from various church backgrounds.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, not only the Church of God, young people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And how long have you been there at the school as the, you're the principal?
Principal, yeah. Since 2014.
Okay. So not long after you finished your doctor ministry.
Yeah.
AU, that was
just a few years after I finished.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about your dissertation, your thesis that you wrote for your doctor ministry, because you're going to share some about that tomorrow. Tomorrow at the conference, there's a section called The History of the Church of God in the Asia Pacific. I just had to look it up on my schedule. But and they're going to talk about history across the Asia Pacific. They're going to talk about specific history of the church in Korea. But you've been asked to share a little bit about the church in India and specifically in Meghalaya and what that history is. Can you give us, I know you made a comment to me today that, you know, you wrote an entire dissertation about this, and now they're asking you to share at this thing in 10 minutes, you know, what you did all this work for. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to do it in even a shorter amount of time. But can you give us a brief overview of some of the history? When did the Church of God start in Meghalaya? How did it get started? If you could give us some of that history, I would love to know, what that looks like.
Yeah, the Church of God in Meghalaya had the connection with the Church of God in India, because two leaders were responsible or called for this purpose.
Okay.
We believe that. Brother John Alauddin Khan.
Okay.
From East Bengal in those days, which is now Bangladesh.
Yes.
He was born in that place.
Okay.
And then Brother J.M. Roy from Meghalaya.
Okay.
Which is also bordering East Bengal. Okay. Oh my goodness, to talk about these places, you know. How to help our friends understand. Okay, let's say like this. It's just close to the border of Bangladesh today.
Yes.
So
where they came from, these two leaders.
Yeah, where they came from, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then this happened in the last decade of the 19th century. In 1896,
okay,
the Church of God started in a place called Kolkata.
Yes.
Through Brother Alauddin Khan.
Yes, Eddie Khan, yep.
Eddie Khan, yes. Yeah. And then Nicholas Roy happened to go to Kolkata for his further studies.
Okay.
And then they met there. And when they shared about their convictions, about Christian experiences, and then their relationship with Christ, they realized that they experienced the same thing.
Wow.
So that bonded them together, because they saw many denominations around in that big city, Kolkata.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of confused which is their true church.
Yeah.
But what he found in the Bible, the name Church of God. So they look for the Church of God. So a church which is according to the New Testament.
Yeah.
That's how the church started.
And I think that's really, it's really fascinating to me that the church in India started only 15 years after the start of the Church of God. The Church of God started in around 1880, 1881.
Yeah.
And you were saying 1896. So
1896.
That's really soon after the start of the Church of God. There was already leaders in India.
Yeah.
How did the Church of God message get to India? Because A.D. Khan was one of the first...
Let's say the first young man...
Yes.
...to be convinced of this understanding about what a church should be according to the understanding of the church in the New Testament.
Yes.
That requires holiness of life.
Yes.
And true repentance.
Yeah.
Forgiveness of sins and to live a transformed life.
And he was an Indian.
Yeah.
That started the Church of God movement.
Yeah.
Wow.
What happened was he read the New Testament
and
he saw... this is the church according to the Bible.
Yeah.
And then one day, he stumbled on the Gospel Trumpet newspaper.
Yes.
It was through that paper he came to know that a person from Texas wrote a kind of advertisement.
Yeah.
That if you send a dime, I will send you a box of books and literature.
Okay.
To know more about the Church of God Reformation movement. That was the word.
Yep.
In that paper in those days.
Yeah. So the Gospel Trumpet, which was this, for those that may not know, the Church of God history, which was a really early weekly or biweekly periodical that was sent out on Church of God theology and practice, because again, there was no formal creeds, but this is the way they kind of shared kind of what they thought. And so it sounds like A.D. Khan found a connection to that theology and then...
Yeah, he sent a dime. And then that person from Texas did not disappoint him. He sent a box of literature and then he read. And then he shared with his friends. with his friends and also with his special friend, J.M. Roy, who happened to be Nichols Roy later on when he married Sister Nora Evelyn Nichols.
Okay.
Who came to India in 1904 as a missionary of the Church of God.
Wow. So from A.D. Khan, then we have
J.M. Roy,
who then took that message from Calcutta. And then did he go back then to where he was from? And that's how kind of that began?
Yeah. When he finished his studies in Calcutta, he went back to Shillong and he started preaching that message which he was so convinced that this is the truth.
Yeah.
So people were surprised to see a young man, a teenager, at the age of 18 or 19.
Oh, wow. That young.
Wow. Started to preach the gospel. Yeah, that's how it started in Meghalaya. And people began to think about what they heard. And the Holy Spirit, God moved their hearts to be convinced of the truth. And then the first baptism in Meghalaya took place in 1903.
Wow.
Although this preaching about that gospel truth, they used to call it, started around 1901, 1902.
Okay.
That's why we based the year that the Church of God started in Meghalaya in 1902.
Okay.
But in Kolkata, through Brother Khan, who started the Bible study in a shop in 1896.
Okay.
So these are the works, the study of the Bible, the preaching of the gospel that happened actually before they had this connection with the Church of God in Mountsville, Virginia.
Yeah.
before they moved it to Anderson.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they moved in 1906. Do you have any idea about it?
I think it's right around there. Yes. Yeah. I think the Bible College there started, the Bible Training Institute started in 1907, I believe.
1917.
That's history that I have not looked at for a long time. Okay, so I need to go back and...
Maybe I have to help you for that.
Well, I told you, I need to read your dissertation.
Yeah, it's somewhere in my memory. I may also have to check it because, you know, since 2008, 2009, 2010 that I worked on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the church started in 1902 in Meghalaya, and now it's so many congregations. I mean, you said 700.
Yeah, around 700. Pretty close to 700 or more than 700.
So, I mean, that it sounds like that message caught and was experienced and received very well.
That's true. You know what happened in those days? They preached the gospel with that conviction, with power. And then God worked through the pioneers, miracles, healing, and then powerful testimony of those who have experienced changed lives.
Yeah.
These are the things that really caught attention of people.
Yeah.
And then they embrace that gospel, that message.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's how the Church of God in Meghalaya continued to grow. It was known as Assam in those days.
Okay.
But now it's Meghalaya. You know, after this changes, many changes.
Yes. It's very organic the way that it started, you know, from a relationship in Calcutta that moved there. And I think that's beautiful because it continues to be organic as people come to the university, as come to the Bible College and are trained and then go back to their home states and share. And now you guys are a sending church that sends people to Nepal and Bangladesh and all over, which I think is a really neat testimony of how that message continues to go out organically and be shared.
For this, we are so thankful to Brother Sidney M. Johnson, together with dear brother Burman Roy Sokia.
Yes.
You might have heard his name.
Yes.
They are the ones who encourage us in our times, even about mission works as well.
Yeah.
So the church continued nonstop since 1902 till today.
Yes.
In Meghalaya and in Calcutta, through the leadership of Brother Khan now, flourished in Cuttack since 1905-06.
Wow.
When they shifted the church, the mission station they used to call in those days, from Kolkata, which was started in 1896, to Cuttack in Odisha.
Yes.
And another state in south of Kolkata.
Yes. Wow. Such an incredible history. And I'm grateful that you not only know the history, but that you've documented it. So it's something that we can learn from. And I'm excited to hear you share some of this.
You asked me about the records in the dissertation. These are the things And that is there in the book.
Yeah.
And it's there in my mind, in my heart as well. So I'm able to share with you. Yeah.
I think that's just so important to be reminded of the history. And anytime I talk to churches, one of the things I bring up is how quickly the message of the Church of God spread through the gospel trumpet, and how quickly it spread, not just through Americans going and sharing the message, but how people from other countries heard that message and were changed by that message and then shared it themselves, and how the church really became organically spread. And India is a great example of how quickly that happened. And I think still a beautiful example of how you continue to share that hope of what a life of holiness, a life connected to Jesus can mean in the life of a person.
Change and transform lives. Yes. This is one of the things that really help people to see the difference. And then we in India, we used to talk about the Church of God in India started indigenously through these two young people.
Yes.
Because they started working before they had connections with the Church of God in Anderson.
Yeah.
Because even the missionary board also was not existed there.
Yeah. The missionary board didn't start, I think, until 1919.
1909, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right. Man, I've messed it up twice. You're right. 1909.
I think so. At least 1909. Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And so the church in India was already doing a lot of work before there was even missionary work.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, one of the questions we love to ask to end these conversations is to say the name of our podcast is A World of Good. So what good is God doing in your world, and how can we be praying for you?
God is good, and He's good all the time. And now it's up to us to be remaining faithful to Him.
Yes.
We need a prayer for God to help us to renew our visions as time is changing, and to be able to have the courage to make changes, to adapt to the things that's happening around us. Because sometimes when the church is as old as 100 years old, especially in Asia, you know, it's so difficult to change.
Yep.
So we need prayer for that. We need prayer that God would really raise godly leaders. We need to pray that God will help us, as we heard the message of Brother Jim this evening, that God would help us to be peacemakers.
Yes.
Because, you know, in India, and as it happens elsewhere, this is the need of the hour. Yeah. We need peace everywhere. As you know, in India, we have many tribes, many people, race, languages. We have all these kind of things that we need to adjust to. It's getting more and more difficult for us in India, because the government that we have, our honorable government that we have in the center, is led by leaders who are not Christians, for the most part.
Yeah.
So that's a big challenge for us.
It makes life really difficult for churches.
Yeah.
For sure.
We need to pray for that.
We'll be praying. And we'll be praying that in India and around the world, that young people, teenagers even, feel called go and share that passion and with those around them, because I think God continues to call young people.
Yes.
And so I pray that they continue to hear that call, to take that message and bring hope and change lives to those around them. So thank
you. Yeah, we need that. We need that. Please pray for that.
We will.
Yeah, I will continue to talk and then share ideas and then learn from one another. We'll see what God's going to do in the future.
And we'll be praying specifically for Nichols Roy Bible College.
Yes,
and
thank you
the
for
students that are there, that they grow in their knowledge of the hope of Christ and sharing that with others.
Thank you for praying all these years, and thank you for prayers to come in coming months, weeks, and times to come.
Well, thank you so much. Reverend Bachman. We're so thankful for this time and excited for the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.